Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where the realms of true crime, the supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Jordan.
Let's dive right in. So today, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to tell you a great story. And two, I'm going to piss Jordan off because I'm taking her forte, if you will.
I took yours this week a little bit. So we've been trading a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's annoying. Like it.
You think it's annoying? I like it.
Don't get me wrong. I like true crime and I like missing persons. But I had to do this one. And that's the weird part is me and Jordan don't talk about what episodes we're doing beforehand.
No, the only thing that we really talk about, we want you guys to know, the most that we really talk about, Matt and I will either talk to each other or just send each other a text message and we'll say, I'm covering a true crime. He'll say, I'm covering a paranormal or supernatural or something. But that's the most we really cover, okay?
But this week we didn't do any of that and somehow we still...
Somehow we're just both on the same page when it comes to this, and I'm not sure how we do it, but we manage to do it every single week. We just somehow manage to make sure we're both not doing the same episode.
So today, I am going to be covering, a true crime missing person. To be specific, Tara Calico. Do you know anything about her?
I recognize the name.
So you know nothing at all. Okay, good.
Not a thing. Excited to learn about this missing persons case.
You didn't think that was going to go away anytime soon.
It never will. I know you.
So this case has perplexed investigators, captivated the public's imagination, and most importantly, and tragically, left a family searching for answers for decades. Decades. It was a crisp autumn morning on September 20th, 1988. And why is that day important?
Gee, I don't know. How about you tell me?
Because 10 days later, I was born.
Really? Really?
Okay, all serious now. September 20th, 1988, in the small town of Belen, New Mexico, when 19-year-old Tara Calico set out on her daily bike ride along a familiar route. Known for her love of cycling, Tara had planned to return home in time for lunch. But as the hours ticked by, it became apparent that something had gone terribly wrong. Tara never returned, and no trace of her or her bike found despite an extensive search that had followed. Tara's disappearance has not only haunted her family and friends, but also the community that knew her as a vibrant, ambitious young woman. Over the years, various theories and potential leads have emerged, yet none have provided the closure her loved ones desperately seek. So today's episode is dedicated to telling Tara's story, examining the facts of her case and discussing why, after all these years, the mystery of what happened to Tara remains unsolved. Just waiting for you to respond.
Oh, sorry. I was just...
I'm just kidding. Let's move on.
Matthew, where to God?
You knew I was going to do that.
I did, and I fell right into it anyway. I do it every time.
I can't wait until we start actually recording these in the studio, because...
Yeah, because my face every time is just, like, enraged.
Not only that, but then everybody can see that you are on your phone the whole time I talk most of the time.
I have ADHD. I have to fiddle with something.
Get you a...
I need a fidget. I need a fidget.
Fidget spinner. That's
yeah. I don't even want a spinner. I need one of those little cubes or something.
I almost called it a fiddler.
I've tried learning the fiddle once. I'm really bad at it. Fun story. Really bad at it.
Jordan, we're being serious right now.
You started it.
As we unfold the layers of this case, remember, someone out there holds the key to solving this mystery. It's our hope that revisiting Tara's story can shed new light on her disappearance and perhaps bring us one step closer to the truth. At the beginning, I was already a Big Bang joke, but...
I could probably sing the entire Big Bang Theory theme song, actually.
There was nothing. And then the space expanded. Planets were formed.
I am resisting so hard to not sing the whole Big Bang Theory.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Nope, I'm not doing it. I am resisting my ADHD moment.
Let's start at the beginning with who Tara was and the life she had before her disappearance. This is not just a mystery, but of... This is a story not just of a mystery, but of a daughter, a sister, and a friend whose absence has left a void that has never been filled. Tara Leigh Colicchio was born on February 28, 1969. In Belen, New Mexico, a tight-knit community where faces were familiar and doors were often left unlocked. Raised in a loving family, Tara was the picture of grit and ambition. She was known for her infectious smiles, her competitive spirit, and her ability to light up any room she entered.
Why is it that everybody who ever goes missing lights up a room with their smile?
You don't really notice, like, whenever you hear about a missing person, that person was an asshole. Like, I'm safe. I'm never going to go missing.
Apparently. I just want you guys to know, if ever I go missing, tell the truth about me. It's fine for you to tell the truth. I'm not going to be mad about it. If ever I see it and I'm still alive, I will appreciate it.
Oh my God, it's finally quiet.
Exactly. I will laugh. I want you to know that if I'm still alive in some kidnapper's lair or whatever, I will think it's funny and it will get me through.
I'd be like, guys, don't worry. She didn't get kidnapped. She probably just got lost or...
Getting lost is legit. I probably did get lost. My directional skills are very bad. Anyway, continue. Yeah. Sorry, I just thought about that.
A student at...
Sorry, I distracted him.
You did.
Sorry.
A student at Valencia High, Tara excelled academically and was an avid tennis player. She had a zest for life, dreaming big dreams, and making detailed plans to chase them. Beyond her academic and athletic pursuits, Tara was passionate about photography, a hobby that allowed her to capture the world as she saw it, full of beauty, mystery, and endless possibility. Personality was a blend of kindness, determination, and a bit of adventure, making her well-loved by those who knew her. On the morning of September 20th, 1988, Tara set out on a bike ride that was part of her daily routine. She planned to ride along New Mexico State Road 47. A scenic but isolated stretch of highway that she had traveled many times before. Tara's mother, Patty Dole, had expressed concerns about this route, worried about the speeding cars and the remote nature of the road. In fact, Patty had suggested they ride together for safety, but due to a tennis injury, she couldn't join Tara that day. Instead, they agreed that if Tara wasn't back by noon, Patty would go looking for her. Tara took her mother's pink Huffy bike that day, as her own was at the repair shop. She also carried with her a Sony Walkman, a companion for her rides, playing her favorite tapes as she pedaled. Witnesses later reported seeing Tara riding her bicycle, looking as free and focused as always, unaware of the fate that awaited her. When Tara didn't return by noon, Patty's worry turned into panic. She drove Tara's usual route, expecting to find her daughter with perhaps a flat tire or some minor issue. But there was no sign of Tara. Only the vast, quiet road stretched before her, with each passing mile increasing the dread in her heart.
That would really be terrible. That would be a terrible feeling.
Oh, it really would.
And you just like, I don't know how you can explain it, but you just get that feeling.
Yeah.
You just know something's really wrong.
But then you try to suppress that feeling because you think you're just overreacting. But after every mile that goes, it's just...
You just panic more and more. But you're like, no, it's going to be fine. Like, she's just up here around the corner. Like, she's fine. She's just going to be on the side of the road. It's fine. But you just know. You know in your heart something is wrong.
Yeah. The search for Tara began immediately with family, friends, and law enforcement combing the area. It wasn't long before a chilling discovery was made. Pieces of Tara's Sony Walkman and a cassette tape scattered along the side of the road. It was a tangible sign of Tara's presence, yet she herself was nowhere to be found.
That would be just a heart-wrenching moment.
Yeah, as a parent, I couldn't even imagine. And I want to make something. We make jokes, not about this.
No, we do take things like this really seriously because we do joke a lot, but when it comes especially to true crime and missing persons and stuff like that, it's just horrifying to think about for real.
It really is. And I've always been around humor is a way to, especially for me, is like coping, helps me cope with things.
It does. And it lightens the mood a little bit when things get super dark.
I don't want anybody to think that the jokes that we make are, you know, in any way, shape or form trying to make light of the situation.
No, because they never are, ever. We would never do that to a victim, to their family, never.
Unless it's a Chester.
Unless it's a Chester, in which case we absolutely would.
Now I just gotta find a missing Chester.
We will. He'll come out.
The disappearance of Tara is a story that begins with... Oops. I'll have to edit this. In the hours following Tara's disappearance, the tranquility of Belen, New Mexico was shattered. What began as a routine day quickly spiraled into a frantic search, mobilizing a community to find one of their own. Tara's mother, Patty, initiated the search, her fear growing with each empty mile with Tara's usual cycle route. By the afternoon, it was clear that this was no ordinary missing person case. It was clear it was something far more sinister. The local law enforcement, alongside volunteers, launched a comprehensive search operation. The roads and surrounding areas where Tara was last seen were combed thoroughly. Helicopters buzzed overhead, providing an aerial view of the expansive terrain, while officers and volunteers on foot scoured the more inaccessible areas. Despite the vastness of the search area and the challenges it presented, the community's resolve to find Tara remained unshaken. As the search intensified, the discovery of Tara's Walkman and a cassette tape marked the first significant clue. These items, unmistakably belonging to Tara, were found scattered as if dropped in a struggle or thrown from a moving vehicle. The chilling find prompted a surge in the search efforts, raising urgent questions about what happened to Tara and that desolate stretch of highway.
Yet,
the most perplexing piece of the puzzle was the absence of Tara's bicycle.
I mean, that is true because that's not something that's very easy to just throw into a vehicle and go.
To me, that automatically shows that it's probably a van because it's probably not a regular car.
No, it would need to be something big enough, quite literally, to just throw into a vehicle and
maybe
go.
A pickup truck.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a pickup truck. That'd be too open, I think.
It would be. And then if they took Tara along with it, it would be, I would think, a lot more difficult to throw her into a pickup truck and just throw the bike into the back of it, I would think. So a van would make the most sense. Or at the very least, a really big SUV.
So I've said it before, but anybody who owns a van is up to no good.
Unless they just have a lot of kids. A lot of kids.
I'm not talking about a minivan. I'm talking about the...
A van.
Yeah, pedophile van.
Pedo van.
Despite extensive searches, neither the bike nor any additional items belonging to Tara were found. This absence fueled speculation and concern, suggesting that Tara had encountered foul play, leading to her and her bicycle being taken from the scene. Or they took the bicycle just to cover tracks.
Which I think is probably more likely.
Eyewitness accounts began to surface, with several people reported seeing Tara riding her bicycle that morning. Some mentioned a light-colored pickup truck, possibly a 1953 Ford, with a camper shell. seen following closely behind Tara. These sightings became a focal point of the investigation, offering a glimmer of hope in the identifying a suspect or witness who could shed light on Tara's fate. Despite the immediate and thorough response from both the community and law enforcement, the search for Tara yielded more questions than answers. The discovery of her personal items by the roadside was a haunted reminder of the day's tragic turn, while the absence of her bicycle and the mysterious vehicle sightings added layers of complexity to an already baffling case.
It is. This is why missing persons cases get me, because you don't know anything.
Yeah, and there's very little evidence, maybe because all we know for sure is she's missing, and they found her Walkman that could have been broken the struggle.
Exactly, and we all know that eyewitness reports aren't 100% reliable, if they're even close to reliable. We have no idea if the pickup that they saw was related at all. What if he was just being slow so he didn't hit her?
Yeah, until he could pass safely.
Exactly, because I drive really slow around cyclists all the time so that I don't hit people.
But let's just say, like, say she was riding along and her Walkman fell and shattered. Question is, would you pick it up if it was shattered in pieces, or would you just leave it and be like, eh?
I would personally pick it up.
See, I don't know. I don't know if because I was thinking about that. I'm like, if it fell, broke.
It depends, I guess, on if somebody was coming up behind me. Do I have the time for that? I might not have the time for it.
Yeah, and depend on, because if it fell near the road or something, maybe would you really want to risk it for a broken, I guess the tape, those things are indestructible.
But I don't know. It just depends on the situation. I'm probably in a big hurry. Yeah. I probably don't want to make any sort of scene. I don't want to be seen at all. So,
or maybe I've been on bike rides where I just get really involved and I'm listening to music and I don't notice my music go off because I'm just so focused on the ride.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't even notice that she dropped it.
Well, I would notice right away because if I exercise, listen, I'm like the laziest person on the face of the planet. Okay, like super lazy. But back when I used to do the gym and running and things like that, which was a very short stint in my life, I cannot run or bike ride or anything without some sort of music because I lose all rhythm. Like, I lose all of it. So I would personally notice right away.
Yeah. But see, I like listening to music while I'm working out or riding bike. But then once I get so focused, I don't always know. I do that when I'm at work, when I'll listen to music, but then I won't realize that my music turned off like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, I 100% pay attention because I'm that person that if I don't have that going, I will stop and wait for the next song if I don't like that song, I'll notice right away and I'll stop and wait and go to the next song and continue because I can't.
See, but then that's the other thing about me. I almost sting the song in my head. So then at some point I'm listening to the song in my head more than I'm listening to the actual song.
Oh, not me at all. Not me even close. I have to have music playing or else I can't. And I can't useless entirely because that music, that is my motivation. That is all of it. Otherwise, I'm not moving.
That's why I think it's, for me at least, it makes sense that maybe she just didn't know that she dropped it. Not saying that's what happened, but it could be.
For me, it means signs of a struggle happened there,
which
both could be true.
Oh, yeah. We don't know for sure. As the initial shock of Tara's disappearance settled into a grim resolve, law enforcement, spearheaded by the Valencia County Sheriff's Office, took the lead in what would become one of New Mexico's most perplexing investigations. The early stages of the case were marked by an outpouring of tips and leads, each meticulously followed in the hopes of uncovering the truth about Tara's disappearance. The discovery of Tara's Walkman and cassette tape provided a crucial, albeit haunting, starting point. Investigators worked to piece together the timeline of Tara's last known moments, corroborating witness accounts of her cycling route and the mysterious pickup truck seen in her vicinity. Despite these efforts, the absence of significant physical evidence like Tara's bicycle presented a formidable challenge. The vast open landscapes of New Mexico, while beautiful, posed a daunting obstacle to the search and investigation. The possibilities of where Tara could have been taken were endless, and the lack of surveillance or witness in the key areas left gaping holes in the timeline as days turned into weeks and weeks into months. The trail seemed to grow colder with each passing moment. One of the most confounding aspects of the investigation was the array of leads that emerged, only to fade into dead ends. Tips came in from across the country, spurred by national attention on the case. Reported sightings of Tara, or someone resembling her, fueled a series of searches and inquiries. Yet, time and again, these leads dissolved upon closer scrutiny.
That happens all the time. All right. Everyone wants to be so helpful, and then it turns into nothing.
I can only imagine that's worse these days.
Oh, it's got to be 100 times worse these days with social media and everything else. You'll see somebody will post a picture at a party, and in the corner of the picture, somebody's going to look, I don't know, 10% like that person that is missing, and someone's going to go, hey, look, that's so. And yeah. I'm sure it's got to be
crazy.
Hundreds of times worse.
The law enforcement's dedication to Tara's case was evident in the exhaustive interviews, roadblocks set up to gather information, and the pursuit of every conceivable angle. However, the lack of forensic evidence, the ever-grown list of potential suspects, and the speculative nature of many tips made concrete conclusions elusive. As the investigation stretched on, the sheer volume of information, much of it contradictory or unverifiable, muddied the waters further.
That's probably one of the worst parts, too, is it's all going to contradict itself.
Yeah. And you got to investigate it all.
Exactly. You can't just skip out on one lead because it doesn't look like it's going to go nowhere, because that one lead might be the one lead you don't know.
Royal.
Even though it doesn't sound like it's going to pan out, you have no idea. So you got to go look at it anyway.
And I know we've got a history here. We like to call up law enforcement for their shoddy investigative work. But I will say that in this instance, the sheriff's office seems to have actually tried to do everything they possibly could.
And a lot of the times they do, but sometimes they just don't have enough to go on. It's not their fault.
No. Obviously, in the case of the Oklahoma one, that was 100% their fault.
Yeah, no, they really just...
But
it's terrible.
I think in this instance... Almost any time you get one of these missing person cases, especially that's been around for decades, there's always some point where there's something that they did that was just does not make any sense and probably killed the whole case for him. But this case really didn't have that. They did everything that they immediately started searching. They set up roadblocks. They searched the entire area. They investigated and followed every lead, no matter how ridiculous it seemed.
And honestly, those are the cases that break my heart the most, because it's not because of shoddy police work. It's just because somebody just, they got lucky. They got so lucky, and either technology wasn't good enough at the time, or they just got lucky and they just disappeared out of the face of the planet. They're just gone.
I will say kudos to the police department or the sheriff's department in this instance. They at least did their job, so we won't be making fun of this Sheriff's Department.
Yay.
The Valencia County Sheriff's Department.
They're not going to hate us. Woo.
Yet.
Correct.
I'm sure they probably have other cases that we probably could.
Oh boy. We'll find ways later. Yeah. Calm down, guys. We'll find a way later.
In the years that followed, the case of Tara took numerous twists and turns. Various theories were proposed, ranging from abduction by a stranger to an accidental encounter with dire consequences, yet definitive evidence of a breakthrough lead, these theories remain speculative at best. The absence of Tara's bicycle, considered key to understanding the circumstances of her disappearance, became a symbol of the case's unsolved mysteries.
That makes sense, because I feel like if it was an accident, I don't feel like they would have taken the bicycle. They wouldn't have most likely had the means. Unless it was...
If they're going to get rid of her body because they hit her on accident.
Exactly.
I think they would want to get rid of the bike, though. Because the bike's going to sustain damage, and then people are going to know that she was probably hit by a car if her bike looks like it's been hit by a car.
Yeah, that's fair. But we also...
I think this is one of those cases where every answer could be the right answer. Because I don't think anything excludes one another.
True.
Because it could have been a hit and run, or because someone could have ran her over with a car in an accident and then just hit everything. Someone could have abducted her.
Yeah, because she took the same route so often.
there's so many things that could possibly happen, and there's really not enough evidence to even exclude anything. I don't even think suicide is actually excluded, really.
I would say no, except it's just she's not found and the bike isn't found, so it would be difficult.
That's in the backwoods of New Mexico, though.
Yeah, but with the search they conducted, you would think that it would have been found by now if she wasn't gone for that long.
I'm not saying that I think that's what but I'm just saying that there's no evidence that even suggests that's not the case.
No, it's true.
Which is weird.
I just don't think it's that plausible.
No. You would think that some kind of evidence would turn up that would point to one way or the other.
Agreed.
And we may get to that in just a second. As the investigation into Tara's disappearance unfolded, the absence of conclusive evidence led to the emergence of various theories and speculations. And we're going to talk about some of them. Theory one.
I'm being prepared in my head to grade you. I'm going to grade you today.
The accident theory. Some believe that Tara may have been the victim of a hit-and-run accident. Proponents of this theory suggest that Tara was struck by a vehicle while riding her bicycle along the highway. The driver, panicked and fearing the consequences, could have taken Tara to conceal the accident. The theory is partly supported by the isolated location of the route and the discovery of her personal items scattered along the road, possibly indicative of a sudden violent encounter, however, without physical evidence like skid marks, damage to her bike, or other forensic indicators, this theory remains speculative.
I was just going to see if you were going to try and say it again.
Nope.
I have to agree with that, because if there's not proof of somebody like trying to stop, but at the same time, if she popped out of nowhere, you might not have tried. So I can understand that. Not that it's even close to the same thing, but I don't know how many people around here who have hit a deer and not even had the chance to try and stop.
Yeah.
Because they just pop out of nowhere. And if I'm remembering the case, the route that she took was just, frankly, dangerous and terrible to take.
Yeah, definitely not a route that you really should be riding a bike on.
No, it was just a terrible route to take, and I am not victim blaming at all. I am not, because really you should be safe anywhere. But it's very entirely possible that maybe when she was going around a turn, another driver took a turn a little bit too tight. It's entirely possible.
And then in this theory you get into... So the accident part is believable, but I've heard people talk about why would someone hide the body if they did nothing wrong?
What if they were drunk or something?
And it doesn't even need to be that, though. You're talking about
guilt,
human nature here.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to go away for life. They don't want to go away for so many years, even if it was.
Yeah. And even back then, there was definitely mistrust against the police.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say this did happen. Is it right that they, obviously not.
But we're also going on the assumption that they're completely innocent aside from this. What if they had a warrant for something? Not necessarily murder or anything like that, but what if they had another warrant for something else that was completely...
Then technically they'd still be innocent if it was an accident.
Exactly, but they still wouldn't want to be caught for this because that would lead the police to them for the warrant for that.
There's 100 forks on this one where you could go down where what if this or this or this...
Exactly. I'm going to give this one a B minus.
That's an A plus. Okay. Trust me, growing up, anything over a C is good for me.
It's still passing.
And for the most part, I'm just going to cover the two main theories here. I will mention some of the more ridiculous
ones. All right. That's fair. I look forward to the more weird theories.
Theory two, the abduction theory. This is perhaps the most widely discussed and chilling possibility. It posits that Tara was forcibly taken by someone, possibly the occupant or occupants of the mysterious vehicle seen trailing her. This theory gains traction from eyewitness accounts of a truck seen close to Tara on the day she disappeared. The lack of her bicycle and the personal items found could suggest a struggle or a swift abduction. Despite extensive investigations, no definitive suspects have been identified, and the leads that have emerged over the years have yet to... Despite extensive investigations, no definitive suspects have been identified, and the leads that have emerged over the years have yet to solidify this theory into fact. Obviously, this is the most common theory, and there's a little more to it that I'll get into it now.
It makes sense, though.
So on June 15th, 1989, a Polaroid photo of an unidentified young woman and a boy, both gagged with black duct tape and seemingly bound, was discovered in the parking lot of a convenience store in Port St. Joe, Florida. They just found this Polaroid, and I will show Jordan right now.
Yeah, I've seen that picture before.
Everybody, I'm sure everybody's, especially if you're into true crime, you've seen this photograph before. People think that she has a strong resemblance to Tara. And of course, the boy, I think there's some theories about who the boy might be, but obviously, to this day, we still don't know. They've tried to do facial recognition on the photographs to see if they can get an identity. Nothing has come to light. Nothing has been proven.
I didn't think so, because I remember them doing facial recognition on it, and it was inconclusive.
Yeah, they've done it multiple times over the years to try to. Granted, they're using old pictures, and Polaroids aren't exactly the top-notch.
Yeah, exactly.
So the interesting part about this is the woman who found the photos said that it was in a parking space where a white windowless Toyota cargo van had been parked when she arrived. She said the van was being driven by a man with a mustache who appeared to be in his 30s. Police had set up roadblocks to intercept the vehicle, but the man was never identified. According to Polaroid officials,
Officials for Polaroid? That's amazing.
I think Polaroid executives or people from Polaroid.
That's just funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
I like
it. The picture had to have been taken after May 1989 because the particular film used in the photograph was not available until then. So if this is Tara, we know that she was alive at least in May 1989 or after. Which if they found the photograph in June 15th, odds were good that she might be alive if this was her.
If, which is a big if, because it's still inconclusive as to whether it is her or not. And I think her family looked at that photo and they still were like iffy on it too, if I remember.
Yeah, there's never been any like inclusive evidence to point to her, but there's been nothing to say that it's not either. Now, you ready for the crazy parts?
Yes.
In 2009, 20 years after the Polaroid was found, pictures of a boy were sent to the Port St. Joe police chief, David Barnes. He received two letters postmarked June 10th and August 10th, 2009, from Albuquerque, New Mexico. One letter contained a photo printed on copy paper of a young boy with sandy brown hair. Someone had drawn a black band in ink on the photo over the boy's mouth, as if it was covered in tape, mm-hmm. like in the 1989 photo. The second letter contained an original image of the boy. On August 12th, the Star newspaper in Port St. Joe received a third letter, also postmarked in Albuquerque on August 10th, and depicting the same image of a boy with black marker drawn over his mouth. The boy has not been confirmed to be the same one as the previous photo. None of the letters contained a return address or note indicating the child's identity, making the officials there believe it may have something to do with the disappearance of Tara.
I mean, it could, but that's still a bit of a stretch.
And the reason why they're thinking, because, you know, if this picture is of Tara and the boy, and then someone sending pictures to the police chief of the boy, or someone that looks like the boy from the photo, and they heavily implied it was the boy by marking
tape over
it. Yeah, basically Sharpie over their mouth, make it look like it was tape. So it could be that they're related. It could just be some lunatic who is being stupid. And I don't know what Port St. Joe has to do with any of this.
Right,
that's Florida, so I guess I understand because all this crazy crap happens there, but
Florida, Mason. Just Florida. Florida's not even real.
That's the end of that theory. Interesting. Obviously, that one was way more in-depth.
It is way more in-depth, and I, without all the crazy stuff necessarily, think that this one is more likely just because of the fact that she took that route so often, and I don't necessarily think someone had to have been following her because, like I said, it's always the possibility that someone was just trying to be more cautious.
Yeah.
There is that possibility. I know I do it. I know a lot of people that drive just are more careful around cyclists so they don't hit people. But I think that's a higher probability because she was so routine
there.
And because the bike was taken. And I say that simply because not every vehicle can fit a bike.
Yeah. And the photo to me is compelling. And if you do look at pictures from Tara and the photo of the girl,
they're similar. I don't know. I'm just not great at faces, though, is the thing.
To me, they look like the same girl. But again, I'm not an expert. And ultimately, the photo could have nothing to do with it. But I still think that the abduction theory is probably the best one. Just because if it was a hit and run, you think her body would have been found by now.
Exactly. Because they wouldn't be so prepared.
Yeah.
It was a surprise. It wasn't something that they were just planning for.
Or is that what they want you to think?
As always possible.
So beyond these, there are other theories.
Ooh.
Other theories.
I like it. There are quotation marks on that. Other theories.
That range from the plausible to the far-fetched. Some speculate that Tara could have started a new life elsewhere. Though those who knew her insist that she would never have left her family without a word. Others suggest more sinister fates involving organized crime or targeted violence, but these lack concrete evidence and often veer into the realm of pure speculation. To be fair, all these theories are pure speculation.
Literally every single theory is basically speculation at this point. Some of them have some merit, but they're still speculation. It is what it is.
So it's important to reflect on the legacy of her case and the impact it had on her family, community, and the broader discussion on missing persons. Tara's story is more than a mystery. It's a poignant reminder of the fragility of life and the enduring strength of those who seek justice and answers in the face of uncertainty. For Tara's family, the years since her disappearance have been filled with both profound grief and unwavering determination. They faced the unimaginable task of continuing their lives with an ever-present void, marked by holidays, birthdays, and milestones that Tara wouldn't have been a part of.
Yeah.
Yet they've also become advocates for Tara and others like her, working tirelessly to keep her memory alive and support efforts to solve missing person cases. And honestly, this was probably one of the first cases that, probably the first case that I really remember hearing about as far as missing person goes.
Yeah, it took me quite a while to start getting into true crime. I wasn't one of those
born
kids that was really into it. It took me until I was in my teens before it really hit, if you will.
I was more into like serial killers and not really disappearances, but more like the like crazy, you know, this one is just more a standard abduction almost, but
I get it, but you can't prove anything because there's no evidence aside from a Walkman and the fact that there's no evidence. The fact that there's no evidence is evidence in a way.
Yeah. True. I always thought I would never enjoy listening to the, you know, missing persons or that kind of true crime. I was always more in the weird true crime.
That tracks, to be honest with you. That tracks a lot.
The more unexplained true crime is one. Because this seems like more of a standard abduction in a way.
It does, but there are so many mysterious things about it. And sometimes those just stick with you. There's one specific case that I eventually will get to, but it's that one case that just sticks with you.
That's my point, is you don't necessarily know what the case is about until you learn about it. Yeah, I had heard about this case long before, I heard her name, long before I ever actually listened to the case. And I was never really interested just because it seemed too boring for me.
That tracks.
But then I remember when I actually did listen to it, it changed my perspective on true crime and missing person cases in general.
Yeah, missing persons cases, at least for me, they just bring out, I don't know, like my humanity or something.
See, they're too... I like unsolved cases, but these are unsolved cases that are too heavy. Yeah.
That's fair. I like the heaviness. I'm weird that way.
I do too, to a certain extent. Except for when you talk about missing kids, that's a different story.
I haven't done one of those in a minute.
I know, but I'm still...
I have been good.
But I think that's very important and to keep Tara's story alive. And maybe one day we'll find out what actually happened to her.
I really hope so, and not even for us, because don't get me wrong, yes, we're all curious, but for her family. I know all of our first reactions is always to be like, oh my gosh, I want to know what happened. But more than anything, her family deserves to know, and she deserves to have closure. Her spirit deserves closure.
And not to get too sappy, but that's one thing I enjoy about this podcast is we have the opportunity to give voices to people that don't have them anymore, can't.
And that's something that I personally take to heart. That's something that with all of my true crime cases that I've done, and I know that with all the ones that you have done, I know I take it personally, because if I can give them a voice, I want to every single time. And I hope that eventually closure is found for every single one of them.
Oh, me too. Wholeheartedly. With all that being said, fuck Chester.
Fuck Chester.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check out our links in the description below.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.